So yeah, we're getting started here. We're talking. We're doing a little. What are you guys talking about?
What are you guys talking about?
Okay, all right. Well, welcome everybody back to another episode of What Are You Guys Talking About? Our favorite little. What is it, Ed? I don't even know what this is.
It's just our time in the week to just chat and be like fans of stuff and talk about the things that we love and why we love them.
Okay, that's definitely today's modus operandi. So today we will be tackling The Bad Batch, so which is a bit of a departure, to be honest, because it's a cartoon, and it's Star Wars. I mean, that's not the biggest departure, because we do some Star Wars stuff, but I've been watching it, much like we did the Mighty Ducks and stuff on Disney Plus. Like, I do think these are things that you guys should catch, and things that we should talk about, because the stories are very interesting, and I always feel like you've got kind of like the, you know, the Rebel Alliance on the other end of this podcast with Eddie, so he can kind of explain the backstory for all of these things, but that's what we'll be talking about today. Are you excited, Eddie Spaghetti?
I am super excited, man. Like, I got to, we watched the episodes today, and I kind of caught up on not so much, not just the lore, but like kind of the production and how they came about and stuff. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Very good. So yes, so a departure from our indie film stuff. We will try to intersped any indie filmmaker advice. This is more indie fans, you know what I mean? We're big fans of Star Wars and the MCU, and it does influence us heavily with what we do in the studio. So when this came about, I asked Ed yesterday, I said, do you want to do Bad Batch? And he was like, oh, yes, please. So we're definitely going to go ahead and talk about
You should definitely talk about the lovely thing that you recently got.
Yes.
Yeah, kind
so
of spark this a little bit.
That's
in a
right.
Sense.
That's right. So we'll have a larger discussion on Star Wars and everything that's going on with Star Wars in my life at the moment. So, but before we do that, please let me just remind everyone you are listening to us on SoundCloud. So that's where we put and host out the podcast. But you can listen to us on just about any podcast platform you can think of. If there is one that you would like and you don't have this one on there, I always say just drop me a message, but pretty sure it's everywhere. You can also listen to us on the website, so www.lovevictoriaproductions.com. Again, the website is always heaving with stuff for you, so please go check it out. Check out the Dirty 20 videos. You know, we do have up Carnivale lore videos that are new. We have the Spring One Shot, which was a 4-hour D&D adventure that Ed did with a bunch of our friends. And there's still a bunch of stuff to be going on there, so be always checking that. But that is another place where you can catch the old podcast. So you can also check us out on social media. We have Jason Shiro and Edward Burgos have Facebook pages, along with Love Victoria Productions. On Instagram, we're Jazzy J Shiro and Anano LVP. On Twitter, it's at Mouth Love Victoria and at Ananoski Prod. And then finally, there are LinkedIn pages for all three of us. Two of us plus the company that you can find there. But anyways, moving upwards and swiftly onwards into a great day for Edward. We're talking about Star Wars. So, where do you want to start? Should we start? Okay, so this was all prompted just to get you set the stage for the listener.
Set the stage, yeah.
You know, because this is one of our fan ones, so we're going to be talking about why we're such fanboys. But fanboy Jason, I'm not, you know, Ed and I could tell you, to be fair, of all the worlds out there that I love to dive into and use as, like, inspiration for writing, Star Wars is not, like, top of my list, to be honest. Like, it's not that I don't like it, it's just not, it's not my go-to place. Star Trek, I'd be more interested to go after to sci-fi, you know, other tropes, you know, with like I'm trying to think of the Lord of the Rings,
like
another world,
Star
like
Galactica,
Harry Potter, right? Yeah, so it's just interesting that I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan, and clearly if you listen to my rants on Rise of Skywalker, you know what I mean? You'll think that I actually don't like the franchise. I do. I grew up on it. And actually, I'm getting to the point now where, much like the MCU, I kind of want to understand how it's had the cultural impact it has. So to that end, you know, Amazon, in its lovely Amazon-ness, emails me on the 4th. So right after payday, too, because I'm absolutely broke now, folks. Like, this literally 2 weeks after payday, and I, like, shunted all my money out. But So Amazon gets me on May the 4th and says, oh, by the way, you know, just so you know, there's a lightning deal going on right now, Jason. The 200 pounds, you know, deal that you have for the UHD Skywalker collection, which I already have all of these, by the way, you know, has gone from 200 to 120. And so, damn it if I was like, oh, but it looks so cherry.
I love that you called me and you were like, listen, I've done something bad. Like,
yeah, because I don't, you know, just to be honest with you, like, I do consider myself like Scrooge McDuck, you know what I mean? Like,
frugal,
I don't.
Frugal, yeah.
I'm very frugal. Like, I try not to spend money, and this one, I couldn't help myself. I just spent it. And, you know, now, hindsight 2020, like, I'm so pleased I made that purchase. That is
very worth it.
So, just to explain to you what it is, there is a book now, a collector's edition that has the Skywalker saga. So it has all of the 9 movies in Blu-ray, excuse me, and UHD, plus a bonus disc for each movie on the making of. I mean, it's everything you could possibly think of. I think what got Ed and I, because Ed came over last week, we had production meetings, you know, outside in the backyard, and I showed it to him then. And I think, I mean, what am I talking for you for? Why don't you tell me what you thought of it?
I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm very big on, you know, collections with extras, and that's maybe kind of the thing that you got really excited about once you arrived. And when I was flicking through it, those kind of four, you know, the extras with the documentaries and the featurettes and stuff like that. That was really, really exciting. But just it's put together so beautifully. Like, I'm a sucker for a good box, you know, for a DVD. Mm-hmm. And it probably all stems from kind of, you know, the Lord of the Rings, the extended editions and stuff like that. I think that they do that with the Bond collection. You've got like a really nice Bond collection as well.
Yeah, so where I would say, I mean, this one actually goes the extra mile, though, Eds, because yes, I do, like you, and when I can afford it, I will go out and buy the collector's editions and things. Why? Because if you're going to have a set of something, you know, that's yours, and the reason you're buying a DVD you may only actually watch 3 more times your entire life, like, you want to get something that stands out, that maybe is a piece of art in itself. So, yeah, I think that's a good example. I'm literally looking at it now, the briefcase for the 007. The only thing I will say about that is it really was only a briefcase, though. Once you open it, it's, I mean, they're all special edition DVDs on the inside, but it really is just a briefcase that says 007. What goes the step further with the Skywalker Collection UHD, just to give you kind of a review, in case you're a Star Wars fan and thinking about it. Listen, each movie has its own artwork. Like, they've done an artwork card in this book. It's beautiful. And we're not talking like a small little card, like the kind you'd get in the Lord of the Rings, you know, official soundtrack, which I got 50 movie cards from that. No, this is like a full page. Like, it's beautiful. It's really well done. And then in the back end, as Ed was explaining, then there's photos from on set that are blown up to make this book. And the book is housed in this carrying case. Like, it's really, really quality.
The artwork, the Ralph McQuarrie, like, concept art and
yeah,
everything on it, it's just
gorgeous. What I mean. So, you know, it's just that step further. Like, if you were snowed like me and ended up buying the Blu-ray Skywalker saga, which I think I didn't have the Skywalker saga. I think I had the first 6 films, not the first 9. And so that's the last time I bought. But that was the Blu-ray that had all the special features on it. This is the way to get the next 3 that way, plus just a really great package to put it all in. So that was the impetus. And so now I'm on a bit of a Star Wars kick now.
That makes me happy.
And he's very happy about that. So, because on the back of that, I also bought Jedi Fallen Order, which is a PS4 and PS5 game.
I want to talk about that today as well.
Sure, sure. And then I started watching The Bad Batch. And you know, The Bad Batch is just the next kind of thing on. And in fact, it, you know, this does better with an introduction from you, Eddie. Eddie, what is The Bad Batch? Tell us.
So, The Bad Batch is the latest animated show from Lucasfilm Animation. And it is essentially a spin-off / continuation from their very popular kids animated show, The Clone Wars, Star Wars The Clone Wars, which ran for 6 seasons and was basically cancelled when Disney bought Lucasfilm. But then it was it was revived for a 7th season in 2020. And it is. I mean, I keep telling you this, but, and I think I've said it on the podcast as well. The last four episodes of that final season of Star Wars: The Clone Wars are like some of the best Star Wars content I've ever watched.
Okay, well let's get into that in two parts. So I think the first thing we should talk about, because we always do for the indies out there, is production wise. So this is very much, is it not, the love child of Dave Filoni, right?
Yeah, so this is how Dave Filoni gets into Lucasfilm. He had been working on Avatar: The Last Bender, and he directed a couple of episodes of that. And George Lucas had watched it, and he really liked it. And so he kind of said to Dave Filoni, "Do you want to come and do some animation for Star Wars?"
Yeah, and just some quick explanation for those that won't know. So Avatar: The Last Airbender was a very popular animation on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Yeah, like back in the early 2000s.
Correct, yeah.
Really, really cool. It kind of blended kind of anime style with you know, American style as well. It was really good. And but Dave Filoni essentially gets kind of drafted from there. And he's asked to make a 3D animated show. Now, this happened a little bit off the back of because there have been several kind of iterations of the Clone Wars,
right?
And the very first one was called Star Wars Clone Wars. It was back in 2003, and they were these little micro episodes, like 2 to 3 minutes, and they were done by the guy who did like Samurai Jack and Powerpuff Girls, and like he's a very well kind of regarded animator. And so they're actually collected on Disney Plus into like two volumes, mm-hmm. where they put like season one and season two together into like 60 minute, about an hour's worth of animation.
Okay.
So that was in 2003. That was really popular. So they wanted to develop that further, and this is where they bring in Dave Filoni. Now, what's interesting is that they had started making the episodes, and George Lucas, of course, being George Lucas, it loves the way they look, and he's like, why don't we make an animated film to like kick it off? And that's where the 2008 animated film Star Wars: The Clone Wars comes out and introduces us to characters like Ahsoka Tano, who is basically a character that Dave and George came up with together and has, you know, kind of continued and now is getting their own like live action Disney Plus.
Yeah, yeah. Let's connect the dots. So Ahsoka is played now by Rosario Dawson and The Mandalorian, and that was one of those great scenes that came about. But she is, you know, as far as Star Wars fans go, she is like one of the top five kind of Jedi that people just love hearing about.
Yeah, yeah. And in I don't know if you've seen the animated film, but It's not great. Like I'll be honest with you, I didn't really like it. It felt very aimed at children, and that was my problem with the Clone Wars in general for quite a long time. I resisted quite hard on that.
Well, we're going to talk about that, because that was my first comment to you, kind of now readjusting, because I don't think this will be the same type of deep dive that the MCU was. The problem I had with the MCU deep dive that I did last year is that it was so all-consuming. So yeah, I'm actually like, it's not that it's too much at one time. So
right.
What I didn't like is having to shut down everything that I watched, you know, just to get through MCU stuff. And to be completely honest with the listeners, I still haven't watched the last ends of it. So I haven't watched Far From Home, which I will watch at some point. We'll probably do a podcast on it. Or the last couple, like the last season of Jessica Jones and stuff like that, which that I don't know if I'll watch or not. But it was all kind of grouped together. Now, like, I'm watching Star Wars stuff and I'm playing the Star Wars video game. But I'm also actually watching, and I don't know whether we'll do a podcast on it or not, but I'm watching Mythic Quest, because I forgot how much I love that show.
Yeah. I've still got to catch it.
Yeah, I was tempted to call Ed today and ask him to switch onto doing Mythic Quest as opposed to Bad Batch, because it's that good and I think everyone needs to start watching it. But we'll save that for another day. But I guess that's my point. Star Wars is so all-encompassing that I am not going to like shut down everything I watch, because it hurts. I mean, the big reason I do these things, guys, just so you understand, just because otherwise I seem, I guess, like a nut to you online, but You know, the reason this happens is the MCU deep dive really helped me understand production decisions. Like, because it's well documented kind of how it went and what worked and what didn't work for them on that. It's really easy. I wouldn't say really easy. It's a case
study, right?
It's a case study. You can go through it and see, ah, they made this choice and this is what happened. Not to say I'm making those decisions in an indie studio today, but again, I don't go to film school. Like, I'm never going to go to film school. So this is my way of doing that. Star Wars is the same thing. I want to understand how they're so able to capitalize from a production standpoint on the zeitgeist, on what people want to see.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. It's interesting, isn't it?
I think so. So the first point, sorry, long-winded Jason, the first point I had made to Ed at the start of this kind of journey was that Star Wars really took me that, you know, the Bad Batch is really kiddie to me. Like, it seems really childish.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that is a very fair criticism, I think.
In comparison with, like, MCU stuff. So, like, all I will say...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, and
that's right. Like that. So nothing in the MCU really ever felt as... And it's because it's animation. Like, that's the funniest thing, because I wouldn't say there's any less violence in this than there is in...
Right.
You know, there's probably more violence in this. I watched the, you know, opening of it with my daughter yesterday, and she was like, wow. And I was like, yeah, you can watch this. It's not, you know, it's not anything
that... It's not too bad, yeah. But essentially, the Bad Batch follows Clone Troop 99, who are like genetically modified clones.
Yeah, I feel like we have to back this up a little bit, because I'm basing this on questions that my daughter had. So it's always good to ask a 7-year-old, right? Or a 7-year-old asks away, will kind of tell us what we need to get. So the first thing, because what I had to explain to her is Star Wars, the reason it works so well in my view is it recreates key historical points, not our history, but it creates a historical point. Same reason Lord of the Rings does really well, because it creates markers. So the first thing I think for those people on that aren't like the biggest Star Wars fans or don't follow all the lore, what's the relevance, Ed, of the Clone Wars? Because we're going to talk about it a bunch. But this era in Star Wars, the Clone War era in Star Wars, why is that relevant to the story?
Yeah, okay. So, in the original three movies, there's a throwaway line that Alec Guinness utters as playing Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he talks about... actually, it's Leia who talks about him fighting in the Clone Wars.
Sure.
And for years, we were all the fans were like, what are the Clone Wars? What, you know, what is this? And essentially, it is... the conflict that led to the Emperor starting the Empire, like founding the first Galactic Empire, right? So it's interesting that you mentioned these kind of like historical parallels and stuff like that, because I think that that's a big thing for George Lucas.
It's in other words, Star Wars functions on critical points like this is the point I'm making. So the way that story works, it's much more similar to Lord of the Rings and less like the MCU, which more deals with character relationships. This is critical moments in Star Wars history. So one of them is the Clone Wars. So what's the conflict in the Clone Wars then? As easy as you can make it.
Yeah, so the Galactic Republic has existed for a very, very long time, like thousands of years.
And that's the good guys, right?
Those are, the good guys, kind of, yes. It's been going for a very, very long time, and essentially you get separatists, groups that don't want to be a part of the Republic.
All right, so like we've got the 50 United States that all exist as the Republic, and all of a sudden Texas and Florida want to have their own country, right?
Yes, that kind of thing. Yeah, so it's that kind of vibe. And what you find out later, of course, is that this has all been set up to create like this war and this danger.
We'll get to that though, but let's do it in steps, buddy. So So separatists start off a war with the Republic. So why is it called the Clone Wars?
Because in order to fight a war on that scale, the Galactic Republic decides that they need an army. And the separatists use droids. So the Galactic Republic decides they don't want to use droids. They want to use clones. and you know, the prequels are really the things that start to deal with this. That's the period of the Clone Wars.
That's right. So your primer on this, if you want like the basics on the decision, that's why I'm kind of doing this, because I don't feel like it's actually explained very well in the movie itself. But the second movie in the prequels, so episode 2 is the Clone Wars, is all about them going to this...
Attack of the clones.
Yeah, going to this lovely place and picking out some clones and saying we're going to have some... Yeah. We're gonna have some of those clones. Okay.
Some of them clones.
That's right. We're gonna have some clones. That's right.
So yeah, and it's all kind of connected to Boba Fett, because his father was actually the original clone, or the original donor of like the genetic material.
So right. There's a bit of trivia for you that I found out last year. But yes, so and I think you can see it in the movie. They try to look someone that there's this attempt to try to make the whole thing look right. But yeah, the original clone is the father of Boba Fett, right?
Jango, yeah, Jango Fett.
Jango Fett. So there you go, a little bit thing. But you know. Again, the other thing that I think has to be borne in mind here, and again, it's because it's a new universe. Like, it's not been written down in a lot of books or anything like that. We haven't had it around for a long time. So how long do the Clone Wars generally go on for? How long are we talking here?
So it goes... The period of the Clone Wars is about a 10... I'm guessing numbers here, but it's about a 10 to 15-year period, because Anakin Skywalker, who later becomes Darth Vader, spoilers, sorry if you haven't watched Star Wars, but he goes from being a young Padawan to being like a Jedi Knight during the Clone Wars. He's a general during
that's,
the Clone Wars.
And that's kind of what I'm going to bring up, because the other thing Star Wars does, and this isn't me just poking holes at Star Wars, it's just trying to get what I think are people who aren't into Star Wars, because I'm not, like back into seeing where this can be a bit different. The time gaps between movies are huge. Huge.
Yeah, they can.
And that's
yeah.
another way is that you've got historical markers for things. So, you know, episode 2 is like the beginning of the Clone Wars, and then you're going to get to episode 3. And what you won't realize, because they've used Hayden Christian Anderson, you know, through the whole thing, and he's a great, great actor, you know, is that because he has an age, you'll think, oh, it's only been a little while. Like, no, there's a massive jump in time between the second film and the third film.
And in fact, the Clone Wars, the TV show, all takes place between episode 2 and episode 3.
Very good. So that's, and I hate to do that, guys, but that's me trying to put this, because the Bad Batch is going to be the end of this and the beginning of 3, and it all, well, we're going to talk about that. So let's get on to the Bad Batch, Ed. Where does this start fitting then in the Clone Wars saga?
Sure. The Bad Batch are a group of, they call them defective clones, but it's never really explained if it's been done on purpose or not. It kind of is alluded to in the Bad Batch early on, where it's like, yeah, no, we did this on purpose to increase their strength, you know, their skills. Like one of them has, his name is Tech. He has, like, increased mind capacity, and Hunter has, like, incredible senses. So they're almost a little bit like kind of mutants in a weird way. But they're kind of looked down on a lot, and they do not, like, play according to the rules. They're your lone wolves kind of thing.
Right.
And they were first introduced in Season 7, the one that was released in 2020. And they had a little four episode arc, and they were very popular, and they are pretty cool, I gotta say.
That's part of what I was gonna ask you. As a Star Wars fan, you know, just giving us a bit of details here for any other Star Wars fans listening and not have checked this out yet. But what makes them so cool, Ed? What do you like about these in the Star them in the Star Wars universe?
Well, I like the fact that they, you know, we've established, okay, there are these clones, and these are the guys who fought the Clone Wars, but we know that by the time that A New Hope comes around, which is like 18 years after Episode 3, right, like, they don't have any clones anymore. Like, none of the Stormtroopers are clones. So to me, I was always very, like, interested to find out kind of what happens, you know. And I think that by giving us this clone troop, they're a little bit different, right? They don't necessarily follow exactly what the other clones are doing. It gives us an opportunity to see that story from an interesting perspective.
Sure, right? Sure. Now, let me ask you this, being the cynical Jason that I am and a writer. Are we talking stories, Ed, that we think, and this is because you know the lore, kind of a Filoni and Lucas on this, is this stuff we think they have bedded down, like really have bedded down, you know, hardcore, and this has been written somewhere, and Lucas is really just kind of putting it out there, or are we dealing more with a Saw thing? And I don't knock it either way, guys. Like, you have to fill the gaps in somehow. Are we dealing with you know, New Hope, we didn't realize that we weren't going to have clones by then, and then we didn't realize that the thing was going to be the clone. Is it more us trying to fix this kind of issue that we have in continuity now with a New Hope never really having any clones in it,
right,
and this going back? Or do you, or you know, to your knowledge, is this Lucas always had kind the of intended this plan. World?
I mean, if you were to ask Dave Filoni, I can pretty much guarantee that he would say that George has always known, like, which way he wanted to go with it, and... You know, and
that's what I mean. Like, and I just want to point that out to listeners, because you could be taking the cynical approach that I do, which I would never believe that anyway, even if you told it to me. But I mean, honestly, I think the best thing you can do is watch things like The Mandalorian Gallery and listen to Filoni talk about Lucas. Like, they are kindred spirits.
And
when they sit, like, he is steeped in Lucas's lore, because Lucas is from what I've heard. And I would love to meet this guy, but I've heard, like, he's not an odd duck, but he lives his movies. Like, he believes in the samurai code. Like, the way he lives his life is very different from the way you and I would see a normal, you know, Joe going about his day. So that's what I mean. If Filoni bought into all that and said, yes, I believe that your story kind of comes through with things. And so I was just curious as to whether you'd heard anything, or whether, you know, there'd been anything said as to whether this was a patch on a continuity error, or, you know, kind of like, well, we're just taking this the way it was because we'd always envisioned just moving on.
Well, I think it's interesting because, although you're right, there hasn't been a lot written about the Clone Wars and stuff like that, but there is a lot of material that existed before the Disney takeover. And I know that Disney are being selective about, like, reintroducing certain things, right?
Okay.
So, like, one of the characters that came during the Dark Ages, as I like to call them, when they were, like, no movies, no nothing, was Grand Admiral Thrawn. Very, very popular character, a real great bad guy, and, you know, Dave Filoni reintroduced him through Star Wars Rebels, which was another animated show that he started.
Yeah, so the Caleb that is in the beginning of... So yeah, if you watch Caleb Bad Batch, there's a Caleb Jedi. Not the Caleb from Fallen Order. This is some of the stuff that gets me about Star Wars sometimes. I'm like, why are there
come
two
up with another name.
Exactly, like, why are there two Calebs?
What's the Caleb in Jedi Order called?
I can't remember his last name. He's a redhead, that's all I remember.
Yeah.
He's a redheaded Caleb, and
this one's Caleb Dune, who I don't know if you noticed, but it was voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr. Which was so
it? Good. I thought I recognized the voice. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I thought I recognized the voice.
He voiced the character of Kanan Jarrus, who is the grown up version of that
little
Jedi.
Right, right.
Who was one of the main characters in Rebels. And again, it's this kind of cross weaving, which I personally love. I love it when they do that kind of stuff.
No, certainly, and certainly Star Wars fans respect that, you know, and they respond to that really well. So it's kind of an itch that you can constantly tickle, as it would be with a Star Wars fan, because you guys just love kind that. Of the... Well, it's you know, it's one of those things that the references, and it's even more...
Totally.
I'd say the interesting thing is just how it's always a bit obscure in Star Wars. Like, there's always, like, if you've read the details and look at the dossier, then you'll know the details, whereas some other things are just kind of laid over. But, you know, in general, taking the fan stuff aside, I still think Bad Batch is worth a watch for people who aren't uber Star Wars fans. You know, I think there's a lot of things going on for it. And I think one of those things is the way that it kind of... you know, takes an animation and makes it again. You know, I talked about this with the way Disney was doing the Mighty Ducks and Big Shots, is it makes it for kind of all generations. So one of the greatest additions that they did in the Bad Batch, and this is going to spoil the first episode, so if you have not seen the first episode, turn this off briefly now. But Omega is joins the crew. So Omega is a young, she's an Aussie in the, at least she has an Aussie accent.
She's Kiwi, New Zealander.
Kiwi accent. My apologies, God.
Ian will kill you. Yeah, Michelle Ang. Great little actress as well.
Sorry about that. Jeez, wow, my Kiwi friends are really going to bolster me for that one. But point being, like, it's a lovely addition because, again, one of the complaints my daughter always has is Star Wars is for boys. It's all, you know, tanks and blah, blah, blah. So this was a character she could relate to, and it did soften the tone enough that I felt, okay, she'll follow this a little bit better now. So... I mean, the other great thing to say about this is always, and why we're bringing it up in a podcast, is this is brilliant storytelling, guys. Like, Filoni is one of the best when it comes to integrating classical story tropes. I mean, The Bad Batch is the bad company. You've heard the story 6 billion times of the five guys. You know what I mean? Like, we all know this story. And I would say that Star Wars, amongst all the other franchises out there, loves to play on World War II tropes. Like, it just works very well.
It's so heavily, like, in the imagery and stuff like that. Right.
Whether Lucas intended that or not, it happened. Same thing happened with Lord of the Rings.
Had to, right?
Well, who knows? I mean, Tolkien always said with Lord of the Rings, he's like, this wasn't about World War II, but everybody thinks it is, you know? And there has to be
Well,
some...
He wrote it, like, during World War I, didn't he?
Yeah. So, do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that the tropes are there for you to kind of see how well they can be put together. You know what I mean? This is one of those things that, you know, there is the surprise twist. There is the thing. So, is it formulaic? Yes. You know, it's incredibly formulaic. Is it good formulaic? Like, yes. Like, I just think it goes through in a much better light that way.
What do you think of the quality of the animation?
It's interesting. We've talked about that. Now... the quality is really high, aside from the fact that it looks a bit video gamey on my HDR. Yeah. So I have, you know, an OLED. When you put it on there, it looks like you're playing my PlayStation 5 when you watch it. I think that's an interesting point, because it's like, well, will we scale back animation then, because it looks so much like a video game? It wasn't a bad thing. It just, obviously, that doesn't scream... like, it doesn't do the same thing an Akira does for me, or a Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, you know, a Square Enix. And so I thought that was interesting. I said, well, obviously they've been doing this forever and they know how to do their animation, but I wonder why this particular animation was chosen to do that. Is it the same animation that was used in the Clone Wars then?
So if you watch the Clone Wars, and I have to be perfectly honest, I haven't watched all the Clone Wars. I've watched the first four seasons, and then I kind of stopped because, again, I was just kind of bumping with... it felt very kiddie to me. The animation improved a lot when they did the seventh season, and this The Bad Batch is much closer to the seventh season. So,
okay.
It's a big improvement, definitely, but I completely understand your feelings about it, because it just does look a little bit video gamey. And then I imagine that Jedi Order on your screen must just look incredible.
Well, that's kind of what people say. So, I mean, what I would say is that was an OLED. I watched a portion of it upstairs on my non-OLED, like my last generation HDTV, and it looked much better. Like, it just didn't, because it was blurred. Like, everything was a little less rendered, and so it just wasn't as tight. I mean, it just depends what you're looking for. If you like the tight pixels and stuff like that, then by all means, the OLED will be your you know, joie de vivre. But, I just... it just was a bit jarring at first, but then you get into Fallen Order and it's like, it's interesting. Because, I mean, I've been playing Star Wars games like that for a long time. Those are Jedi Knight and Jedi Knight 2, you know, Force Dark Unleashed. Forces. Yeah, so this is by far the most, God, you feel like you're really right in there, you know, kind of playing and everything like that. It's definitely the most visual. So, and the story for Fallen Order is amazing. The interesting thing about that, Ed, just because it's a good way to segue, is it's dealing with the same time period. So it just deals with something that's only briefly talked about in The Bad Batch. So in The Bad Batch, they have, is it Order 66?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
that is the first episode. It opens up with Order 66.
And I always feel bad explaining these things because you're so much better at it than I am. What can you kind of go through, A, how that happens in the first episode? So spoilers now, and this is kind of give you a flavor of what you might be watching if you want to watch more episodes. But how does that play into that? And then we can connect it into Fallen Order and talk a little bit about that. But tell us about Order 66 and how that plays out in the first episode of Bad Batch.
Okay, so the whole manipulation of, you know, getting a clone army made was done by Palpatine, senator at the time, but then he became chancellor, and then later he becomes emperor. But the reason why he was manipulating this is because he wanted to be able to put a chip into all the clones that would basically get them to execute this order, Order 66, which was at the right time, at the same time, all the Jedi were to be executed. And this is like a really kind of central moment in the films, in the games, in the cartoons. It's like a massive moment. And we've seen it from a bunch of different perspectives now, which is really, really cool. But that is how the film opens. Clone Troop 99 arrive to support a unit that are under attack by separatists, and Order 66 gets sent out. So the Emperor, and we saw it in I think it was in episode 3, Attack in Revenge of the Sith, where you know the actor who's so amazing as the Emperor. I'm forgetting his name right now, but he says execute Order 66, and and you see that in The Bad Batch. You see the hologram. It's just, I don't know, it gets me excited.
That's right. So I mean, Star Wars tends to do this, and again, this keeps sounding like a Star Wars does it differently, but it really does. So one of the things, so this Order 66, the first time you ever hear it references is back in episode 3, and there's a scene for it, obviously, because you basically, that's supposed to show the turn of Hayden Christian Anderson as Anakin Skywalker into Darth Vader and all the crazy stuff that goes with that. So, you know, one of the crazy things is that the bad guy, the chief bad guy, who will later be the Hitler of the, you know, the original trilogy, the New Hope trilogy,
Emperor Palpatine, yeah.
You know, sees his greatest foes as obviously the good guys, which are these Jedi Knights. And you know, there's, you know, everything's meta now, so that's not entirely how the story is anymore.
Right,
but
right.
My point is, in the third movie, it's you know, everyone knows those prequels were not great, and so the problem is that scene is never given any real dramatic pause. Like, you literally have the massacre of every Jedi that ever lasted.
Yeah.
You know, and it lasts all of 10 minutes on the screen. And so
we're going to see more and more of it. I'm pretty sure they're going to do it.
Yeah, but like that's
in Obi-Wan.
That's kind of like my point, because that's where the Star Wars universe is unique, and not necessarily in my view in a good way. This is where I can tend to be very critical, because it's a history that will rewrite it. It will retcon basically every time it can. So this is an example of good Star Wars retcon. They recognize that the impact, and the reason I say this, Ed, is because when you look at things like Endgame, right, and so Endgame, and more importantly, this would be something like Infinity Wars. It was so important to the Russo brothers and to Feige that we had this feeling of destruction when he snaps his fingers. That's how Order 66 should have played out when we saw it in the films. And unfortunately, all you have is the temple, because you have this large Jedi temple. You have, if I remember correctly, Anakin running in there, and then you have a bunch of screams. And so now what they've done via Fallen Order and via The Bad Batch is kind of bring this back to give you the resonance it should have, and saying like, on this day, every Jedi dies. Because it's brought up.
Sure.
And
you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Because it has huge I just watched the first Star Wars again. It's A New Hope. So episode 4, this is where you can get confused. I've watched the fourth Star Wars, but it's the first one ever made. I mean, there is a resonance in that. When Obi-Wan talks about it, he's, you know, there's a good acting there. It's very much like it was horrible, you know, what happened. And he won't really even kind of explain what it is. So that's all I'm saying, Ed, is and it's part of what we do on the show is kind of dissect things and say, this is where it is. Star Wars loves to go backwards in time and say, well, we talked about this and we didn't really do a great job of it. So here, let's show you this awesome story that shows you exactly what we should have told you the first time around.
Yeah, I think that's probably, you're probably right that that is the end result. I'm not sure if that's the intention. I think it's, you know, I think they probably think that they're just expanding, you know, that there's little seeds here and they expand and stuff like that. But, you know, it, the end result is the same. But yeah, I mean, my issue with Star Wars content is that I don't know if more is always good. I used to think that. I used to think, like, give me all the Star Wars that I can, like, possibly get. But I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, I'd rather people spend more time and thought and into doing them. Luckily, I do think that animation is just it's Dave Filoni's first love. So although, you know, he's definitely like looking like he's going to be running a lot of the live action stuff moving forward, I think that he'll always have like an eye on the animation and want it to succeed, which, you know, I like that. I like that he doesn't forget his roots.
No, very much so. So going back to Order 66, though, so this is the order to kill all the Jedi. How does it affect, I can't remember if we talked about it, did we talk about how this affects the Bad Batch? Because it's a pretty important plot point. And there.
So, yeah, we didn't talk about it in detail. So they arrive, they help out the Jedi, and then they're being sent off to kind of counterattack, but the Jedi Master... I think it's like Master Pelaga or something like that. She gets gunned down.
Right.
And Caleb, the young, her Padawan, her young apprentice, kind of turns around and he goes to try and help her. But obviously the clones start shooting at him. Now, we don't know how Clone Troop 99 are going to react. But at first, it seems like they're as confused as he is. Apart from one of them. Crosshair, I think is his name. Who seems intent on carrying out the order. And this is kind of what leads to, you know, some of the tension that comes into,
right,
into the show.
Right, right. Right, so that kind of sets things off. So it's, again, it reminds me a little bit of The Mandalorian, in which The Mandalorian loved to play with you and take a bad guy, you know, someone who wasn't necessarily someone who we thought would be great, and kind of, you know, like I said, the opening sequence when he's, you know, he's a red guy, not a blue guy, you know, when he goes through there. They're doing the same kind of thing with the Bad Batch, and that's one of the cool things about Star Wars, because good guys meld into bad guys pretty quickly around things. Again, talking about Emperor Palpatine, this is setting up, and it's interesting. I'm not sure, I can never tell whether it works or it doesn't work, but they're setting up a pretty awesome political maneuver here, and they've now done it. You know, if you, and we'll talk about Fallen Order maybe in the last part of this, but they've now done it in two different mediums to kind of show just how this was set up. And it's, you know, it has echoes of 1936 Germany. You know, it's very much, you know, the comment is made that, you know, you don't have to worry about the Republic anymore. We've just dismissed them. You know what I mean? They're done. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
well,
so
there's that one great line that Padme has where she says, "This is how democracy dies." To rapturous applause. And that's always been one of my favorite lines in the prequels.
That's but right. Yeah, and I think, you know, and this is not trying to say Trump was Hitler, but trying to say that we did have all elements of this again come back during 4 years Trump, and God knows if he decides to run again, you know, what can happen next time. But, you know, there were elements of this that happened in the Trump presidency, and that's why I think, you know, again, Filoni and the writers at Star Wars are always good to hit when they do. The Bad Batch, again, it's not something that's up there. Ed's even pointed out to you, say, well, it's Star Wars animation, so we're not convinced it's going to be on everyone's top five list. However, we think it's worth a watch, A, for the story, because I just think it's well put together. And again, classic stories of adventurers kind of going out there. This is bread and butter stuff for your own writing, you know what I mean, to kind of take you where you want to be. But I think the other thing is how topical it becomes once again. It was even, you know, this is part of the reason that the prequels bombed, because they weren't actually that topical. You know, George Lucas. George Lucas was trying to go on about politics and how politics can be unnerving and how good people can seem like bad people, and he did it right in the middle of the Clinton administration, which everybody was like, "Well, that's not happening now, though." You know what I mean? Mm. Like no one felt.
Wasn't it more the Bush era, like 2000s, early 2000s with the prequels and stuff?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. No. Episode one definitely comes out with Clinton in charge. So
I think you might be right. It's like 99.
Yeah, because I saw that with my sister when I was younger. Yeah. So this is all still Clinton. This is pre-Bush. That's what I mean. Like, that's why it was so confusing, because it was this kind of list. You know, the first episode falls apart, guys, because, you know, it starts. You know, I always tell Ed this. It really is that opening sequence. It's the opening credits that read like a tax treaty, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a lawyer, guys, and I'm like,
that's right at the beginning as well.
So that's why I said to Ed, can you just do Clone Wars in the simple form, the Separatists versus the Republic? Like, that's the easy way to explain what's going on. So, and that's what we mean. Like, that's,
there is a trade embargo.
The beauty and the craziness that is Star Wars. There's always like the easy ways to explain things, and then the really complicated way to explain things. So, you know what I mean? Like, Wookiees, they're cool, but then you learn about like Wookiee culture, and it's like, good lord, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't get me wrong. I love George Lucas so much for having, you know, come up with this universe and the kind of imagination and stuff like that. But I do wonder if, you know, people get older and people kind of lose touch a little bit with, the world. And I just wonder if that's the case with George. I think it's easy to look at some of the terrible, you know, things that have been done with Star Wars in recent years and be like, oh, George would have done it much better. But I don't know if that's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, and it's one of those only franchises I can think of which is so wedded to its original creator that way. You know what I mean? Like, the other reason Star Wars has been so popular has not necessarily been the writing. Like, it's more, again, this isn't an episode, an adventure in production, guys. Like, they merched the hell out of those films when they first came out, to the point where they almost had to create more, because it was like, well, we need something to, you know, this is what they used to do. Like, Hasbro used to make a toy and they make a TV show.
There's that famous story. I think I might have mentioned it on the podcast, but one of the characters in Empire Strikes Back, which when they have the bounty hunters lined up, his name is Forlom, number four, and then LOM. And the rumor has always been that that stands for love of money, because they were just doing them for the action figures. You know, I don't know if that's true.
I can believe it, but it's not something to turn your nose up in. Because again, with this one, now listen, what are the top tips? Are we even giving top tips today? Yes, of course, we're always giving top tips, right? Well, I never stop trying to tell you people what to do. So, top tip would be, the writing, like I said, is classic, though. I mean, this is Kurosawa. Yeah. This is as grandiose as it gets. Bad Batch Hero's is great journey. To see, you know, classic stuff. That being said, do not, and this is coming from someone who, you know, would love to do this himself, but do not poach this writing. It's not brilliant. You know what I mean? This is not. This is a good framework, but man, you need to contemporize.
Broad strokes, great great kind of overarching kind of story arc.
Exactly.
But exactly what you say.
Star Wars is never going to nail you for being like, wow, that was the best laid story I'd ever seen. The reason I say it like that is because then we get into my second point, which is what you do need to focus on, and not just you know, if we're starting out our deep dive here, not just Bad Batch, but looking at the rest of the Star Wars universe, is look how well Star Wars, since its inception, so since the late 70s, has been franchised, has been produced, has been made out. Now, some people turn their noses up to that, but guys, that's what allows them to keep making more Star Wars. Yeah. So I cannot in any shape or form, you know, knock them for that. I think it's great. Because, yes, they're selling action figures. Great. Make yourself a film. You know, look at Benny, and God knows, poor Carl. So sick of being hearing about making Benny dolls. But, you know, it's a source of revenue if he needs it. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a thing. And as an indie film producer, we're about to put together our Kickstarter – for our short film. You know, we're about to think about features and stuff we can do with that. And that all comes with thinking of the extras. Can I sell t-shirts? Can I sell this? Can I sell that? And that doesn't make me a greedy motherfucker just for wanting to get some money into the studio. It means it's, I'm planning.
It's a product,
it's,
right?
It's so when Ed comes to me or Bonita comes to me or one of our many people that have great scripts come to me and say, I want to make this film, we have the money in the kitty. It's the reason I said that Disney has nothing to worry about these days because they got 20 theme parks and action figures coming out the wazoo, but what is Netflix doing in that remark these days?
I mean, we'll see, right? That bubble's going to burst at some point.
I'd better start seeing some Netflix action figures, some Netflix theme parks and things like that, because guys, it's not a joke. Like, this is capital. This is what keeps your business afloat when that bad movie tanks your studio. So... That's my point. Now, as an indie, do you have that problem that something's going to tank your studio? Probably not. Like, I hope not. You know what I mean? Who knows?
Now, okay, so here's a question for you. As someone who obviously is like a film producer, but also loves games and stuff like that. Do you think that they would actually be smarter in investing more into their gaming branch? Because their games are always like... such massive hits.
Well, like that's the first thing to always bring up with gaming is that the revenue stream for gaming is so much bigger. So when you're talking in like 2, 3, 4 billion, you know, for video or for movies, you're talking like 10, 15, 20 billion for video games. They just have a bigger market share. More people buy video games than they do to go watch movies. Yeah, so
and you can do like DLC and
yeah, it's just there's more money to make there. So the obvious answer is yes, like you'd be do well. Now on that front, talking business, I don't know, most of the Star Wars games are released, you know, they have to be licensed through a software group. So the moment, like Fallen Order is EA, so that's Electronic Arts. Those are huge conglomerates, Ed, so I don't know what percentage they take themselves.
Okay, that makes
sense. Yeah. Again, this is when it starts getting a bit bigger. You know, what percentage of that 60 quid for Fallen Order, I didn't pay that much, but because it was on sale.
Yeah.
But, you know, that you would get for the sale or the retail price for it, what goes to EA, what goes to Disney, what goes to the developers, you know, that's what I'd be interested to see because that would have a big thing there. I guess the point is that the people on Star Wars, so the Kathleen Kennedys, the J.J. Abrams, you know, the Dave Filonis, they have always been really good at negotiating with those third parties, with the Hasbros of the world, with the, you know, Bethesda was the one who did Knights of the Old Republic, one of the greatest Star Wars video games of all time. You know, this is the other thing I will say about Star Wars. This is why, you know, Ed and I were joking. Like, I know them much more from a video game perspective than I do even from them. You know, the movies everybody grew up on, so I can't, but I can't claim to know the details in the movies like the way Ed does. He just loves the lore and studies it. But the video games, like, yeah, I love them because there's so many. There's been.
Yeah, and they're good, right? Like, I mean. That's the thing. I feel like I've missed out a little bit by not playing some of these games.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're not all amazing. So, I mean, tail end of the show, because we can get into talking about Fallen Order at the end. So, the first ones I can remember playing, Ed, were the you know, it started with X-Wing, and that was a big deal. Because
Fighter versus X-Wing.
That's how it progressed. So, it started, this is what I mean, like, they're very clever with their marketing. They didn't release TIE Fighter. They released X-Wing first, so it was, you can play, you know, in your X-Wing, and this is when flight simulators were huge on computers. So you bought that, you loved it, and you're like, cool, but then the next one that comes out, Ed, is TIE Fighter. And all of a sudden, it was like, you can be an Imperial fighter, and it was like, wow! What it'll be like to do that. And then was, you know, because right now, the current one, I haven't bought it yet, but I may, is, I think it's called Squadrons, where you get to do the same thing. Now, the story is supposed to be pants, but you either get to play as a story where you're playing both as the Imperial and as the as a squadron. So, but there are some horrible ones out there. You know, that will still give you a feel for the movie. Like if you pay Starfighter, that is the only time you can fly one of the Phantom Menace ships, like one of the ships from the first one, the Naboo ships. They're horrible and they look ridiculous, but you can fly it in Starfighter. So there's that one.
Loved Rogue Squadron on the Nintendo 64.
Ah, that's okay.
My jam.
So, but yes, cool thing about Rogue Squadron when it came out, that was the only one that came out the N64 that was released with the new technology. So they partnered up with Nintendo on that one to have a special third-party something or other you had to buy to play Rogue Squadron, if you remember. You had to have that special extra cartridge to have the memory. That's the type of production stuff that Star Wars and their people, their execs, are geniuses at. They know what stuff to buy and what doesn't. The only other ones I can say are similar to that are Sony. Sony are equally intelligent when it comes to choosing how to franchise out and to use things like Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Is one of their greatest franchises that they have still to this day managed to kind of keep from Marvel and Disney and use it in their own light. I'm always really impressed with those negotiations because that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and a perfect example of that is Fallen Order, Ed. So, Fallen Order, we were going to talk about it briefly at the end here, which we are coming up to the end. Fallen Order, the premise is that it takes Order 66 a bit further. And so, you have, just to give you a quick story version of what happens in the intro, you end up on a... I love this because it gives you the details you wouldn't know otherwise. You start on a scrapyard. And what I loved about the scrapyard is you find out it was actually where they used to build the ships. And we used to, now it's a breaking yard for the ships, but it used to be where they built the Republic ships. And now the Empire is breaking up all of those ships because they don't want, obviously, anyone to have any technology that they don't. So on this, lo and behold, in the first 10 minutes of the game, you find out that Caleb, who is your character you play, is actually a Jedi. And this is after Order 66. This is years after Order 66.
So he was a kid. He was a kid when
that he was a Padawan, right?
Do you get to play like that moment? Is there a flashback or something?
There's a few flashbacks. You don't play them. Yes, you do. Actually, no. Sorry. When you're learning the new Force powers, you do get to play the flashbacks because that's how he learns. Because he's disconnected from the Force. Now, I haven't played the whole game yet, so I can't tell you the whole story. But he's disconnected from the Force for a certain reason, and he runs into certain people that come to help him. But it's all about kind of getting to the bottom of the Force. And what they're trying to do, the group he runs into, is they're trying to bring the Jedi back because all the Jedi are gone now. And this is very much the same scenario we run into in A New Hope, where we find, you know, Obi-Wan living in the outskirts of Tatooine and the Jedi are dead because, you know, because the Empire will annihilate anyone they find. So it's interesting to see it all weaving in that way. And that's what I love about, that's the stuff I love about Star Wars, because I'm playing a 2021 game that's connecting to a 1977 film quite seamlessly, quite well. Yeah. So that's when they really get it right.
You know, they there was a lot of speculation just before the ending of Mandalorian Season 2 about who might show up at the end, you know?
Sure.
And a lot of people thought that it might be Caleb from Fallen Order. But
okay.
Shame it wasn't.
No, it was, that was, spoilers, but that was, Luke, right?
Yeah, that's the great Luke scene.
It's pre-death Luke, right? He wasn't coming back as Jesus, right?
No. Yeah, this is like Luke at the height of his powers. Like, just after, you know, Return of the Jedi, he's now starting to look to build his temple and stuff.
But this is what I mean, and this is why it very much is the Skywalker saga, because if you play the video games, he appears in those as well, in the Jedi Knight ones. You know, Jedi Knight is this kind of precursor to Fallen Order, but not precursor story-wise. It actually takes place later and has to deal with a stormtrooper who later finds out he's a Jedi, and then ends up helping Luke Skywalker form, you know, a whole new world of whateverness. You know what I mean? Like, it does, but it's an awful lot of backstory again. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm interested, you know, how do we get from Luke that's starting the Jedi Order to Luke from The Last Jedi that just looks like, fuck, man. Like, somebody pissed all over his cornflakes.
This is one of the things that they're talking about. And actually, so there's talk, another very popular character of the extended universe is how they refer to it now, but the earlier books that were written in the 90s, there's a character called Mara Jade who becomes Luke's wife, and you know, she was like the hand of the Emperor for a while. She was actually tasked with finding Luke and killing him, but you know, he got the Emperor, and then they fall in love, she becomes his apprentice, you know, there's a whole thing. But that character might end up appearing, and might be another reason why he got so bitter. In the sense
so, that... Talk a little bit about this, because it's one thing that I love how it rolls off your tongue, because, and I would do this if something I knew this well as well, but Ed has clearly read these books, or at least clearly read the lore behind these books. But tell me a little bit about these books in the early 90s, because, again, this is not something that we find in every... You know, MCU had the comic books, right? So you had loads and loads of comic books to grow up with. This is not like that. We do have, Ed, you know, fan fiction. So tell us a little bit about that.
Not necessarily
fan fiction, you know, published stuff.
So the books that I'm kind of referencing a fair amount are known as the Thrawn Trilogy, and they're the first three books that George Lucas licensed, basically allowed to continue the story of Star Wars, because he couldn't see himself doing another three films, with Luke and stuff like that. And so you've got Heir to the Empire is the first one. And this is where, they've won the Galactic War, but they're trying to create the New Republic. Leia is like the head of it. She's now married to Han. Luke is now obsessed with rebuilding the Jedi Temple and his apprentices and stuff. And it's crazy. They come across a clone who's a clone of Obi-Wan Kenobi, but has gone mad. And Thrawn basically goes and gets him because he realizes that one of the reasons why the Empire were so amazing in their battles and stuff is because the Emperor was using the Force to control his ships and his men. Like, he was coordinating the battles himself. Right. And Thrawn realizes this, and he says, I need a Force user to do that in order to try and defeat the New Republic. So that's kind of the basic premise, and it's a trilogy throughout it. Like, Han and Leia have children, twins. Luke meets Mara, who was the hand of the Emperor. And at first they hate each other, then they kind of like each other. But it's honestly one of the best Star Wars trilogies or books that I've ever read.
But is that all? Is that canon or not canon then?
So this is the problem. So when Disney bought Lucasfilm, mm-hmm. they made all of the books and all of the comic books and everything. What they call the EU, the extended universe, the legacy universe.
Okay.
So they still printed stuff, they still sold stuff, but they basically said it wasn't canon.
Okay.
And this is how they've been able to take a character like Thrawn, who in the books he's fighting against Luke and Leia and Han, but in the TV show where he first appears, he's fighting against Ezra Bridger and Kanan Jarrus, in the Rebels TV show.
Right.
So they're being quite smart in the sense that there's great characters in there, right? In the extended stuff, in the video games, in the comic books.
So a bit like the comic books, right? So like the MCU did, they're picking some of their better things that they've come up with, but rejigging it slightly so it all connects a little bit better together in the visual stuff that you can watch on Disney Plus.
Exactly. And I think with the massive hit that was The Mandalorian, I think that, we've seen, they're doing an Ahsoka show, they're doing the Bad Batch, they're doing a Boba Fett show, it seems to be exploding.
And it is the thing to point out about the Bad Batch, because I had mentioned this to you, so I turned it on thinking it was going to be part of this kind of this knockdown lineup they had of, awesome things, and then it just ended up being a cartoon, and Ed just kind of chuckled a little bit, being like, this isn't one of the big ones. So that I will say about this, guys, that if you're waiting for the Ahsoka one will be huge, because that's gonna be Rosario Dawson.
Book of Boba Fett is gonna be massive.
And I mean, I still to this day do not understand the fan base behind Boba Fett, but people love that character. Just absolutely love that character
from day one.
Like I said, a guy I used to skateboard with used to have a rap that was like, not his rap, but we used to listen to music, and he'd be like, you have to listen to this rap, and it was a rap about Boba Fett. I couldn't believe it. I was like,
that's so funny.
You know, back in the day. So this is not one of those, but I do think, again, I wouldn't have put it on the show if I didn't think it was worth, first of all, discussing and worth, you know, a watch from your guys' end. Again, Disney Plus is continuing to put out quality stuff every week. You know, it's another episodic show too. I love that you can kind of tune in once a week, catch 30 minutes of this.
I think it was a very good point that you made where you were like, oh, the first one was a bit long, and you're absolutely right, it was, but I think that was aimed at the fans to kind of like
give that's them, good, yeah, because it's know. The kind of stuff I like to put on the show. So like the first one is going to feel like, yeah, it is going to feel very for the fans, because I felt that way. By the end of it, I was like, this is not this. It was long. You know what I mean? Yeah. It felt long. And it does, because it's the aftermath. So basically, for the fans, what they have done is they've wrapped up the Clone Wars completely now. And they're like, we're now moving out of Clone Wars. Post-Clone we're moving Clone into, Wars, yeah. it, you know, the what you've been waiting for of how yeah. did the Empire get its start? Well, it was just like yeah. Nazi Germany. Like yeah. they yeah, basically yeah. eliminate the competition, you know, yeah. as quickly as they can. And no one knows the difference, right? Yeah. So again, where if you're really interested in this stuff and you find it cool, that's why Fallen Order was just this awesome kind of pickup from that. Because I do think that's cool. Like, I like when we imitate history, not that I like Nazi Germany in the slightest, but I like that kind of writing that pulls on the same fears.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we always feel as human beings this will never happen again. And it's like, that's why these stories work, because they happen continuously. Like, they just, unfortunately, human nature is what it is, and these things repeat themselves throughout history. So that's why I think it's a really good kind of mix to remind you of the things you don't like about human society and say, oh man, that's bad, but also point out that there is always this kind of resistance, there's always this kind of like development, and you know, that's where Star Wars shines, is in the rebellion.
That's right, baby, the rebellion.
Yes. All right, so we are up to a minute six now. I'm going to let us get off the show now and get on with our daily lives. But please, thank you all for joining us. Remember to like, share, subscribe, and comment. If you have Star Wars questions, or you want to know more about the show, or you just want to say something, let us know. Comment section of SoundCloud, comment section of Facebook, wherever you find most appropriate. But also helps us a lot if you share this with other people. Like I said, we're jumping around topics a bit, but we'll be getting back to some indie stuff soon. And we will be mixing a little bit of Star Wars in there now with all the new stuff coming out. When are those shows due to drop, Ed?
Later in the year, you've got Boba Fett dropping. I think that's going to be the next Star Wars thing, because you've got, obviously, the Loki show coming in June.
Okay.
Which I'm really excited about. So it'll be Boba Fett first, then Mandalorian, then Ahsoka, I think.
Okay.
Is how they're going
to
be.
So loads coming up. And those are the ones, guys. If you don't catch Bad Batch, if you just listen to this to get the lore and you're like, I just want to hear Ed and Jay for an hour, you're fine. Like, that's what I said. You're not going to miss the world if you don't catch this. I just thought, if you are a Star Wars fan, or if you're just kind of a fan, this is definitely worth a watch. It's easy to find on Disney Plus. And like I said, if you got kids, just stick them next to you. It's great to kind of sit there and watch them with them.
More stuff. And you're absolutely right about the Omega character as being a great like entry point. You know,
that's what Disney Plus is excelling at right now. As I said, I'm watching Mighty Ducks and Big Shot and all this other stuff you heard from Catherine. Like, they're just really good at pulling stuff that's going to pull me onto the TV. And again, that's the producer talking, saying, like, that's what you have to do. You have to find things. It's why I completely agree in episodic viewing, not listing them all at once like Netflix says. Why? Because I don't want you to binge watch my streaming service. I want you to come back to it once a week, because then I know you're going to pay for your subscription. You know what I mean? If you watch it all, then you can just delete me out. So I just think it's a better philosophy. So, but next week we will be continuing on with, I don't actually know, we could be doing Mythic Quest, because I'm watching them all now, and I know Ed's going to love them. And Ed and I haven't really spent a show talking about our favorite comedies or things like Community. And he's just turned me into Always Sunny. It's the reason you need to see Mythic Quest is obviously Rob McElroy? He's one of the lead characters in it as well, and we can talk about that. So maybe we will do Mythic Quest. We're also going to be doing The Love Witch at some point, because I love that movie, and we haven't done one of my favorite indie horrors. So I'm making Ed watch that, and then we'll talk about it, and he can sit there and be like, I don't understand that film at all. Or he can say,
excited,
I loved it.
Man. I'm excited because you always have good suggestions, so...
This one's a weird one. It was one of the ones that I watched, and it tickled me. It tickled me a very, very certain way. It's a very Jason kind of
film. I don't know why. Every time you say that, I love it.
Just did. So, but anyways, thank you all very, very much for joining. We will catch you next week, and until then, bye-bye.